I know that the big news this week has been the super typhoon that's marching its way across the Pacific. It devastated Guam, and it has entered the region of the Philippines. I think we have, many of us, if not all of us, have seen some of the dramatic videos of the destructive winds and waves. But that typhoon will pass, and life will go on for the most part. So let's focus on an event that blew into the human family some 2,000 years ago and is still going on. It has not dissipated like a typhoon. It's still a powerful wind. Of course, I'm talking about the glorious descent of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate today on the Feast of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is the 50th day of the Easter season. That's what Pentecost means, 50th. 50th day of the Easter season, the final day of the Easter season. It marks both the end of the season and the beginning of a whole new era in the life of the church. It's sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church because of this new life and new beginning that takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're familiar with the images of the coming of the Holy Spirit that are recorded in Acts chapter 2. That was today's first reading. There's the sound of a mighty wind. There are these mysterious flames, like flames of fire coming down from heaven and descending and hovering over the heads of the apostles. And then there's this amazing capability of speaking and understanding different languages. It's really an unforgettable event. If the technology were available back then, people would surely have pulled out their phones and recorded this and posted it instantly on all the social media. A big, dramatic event. But even more remarkable than these external signs is the change that took place inside, in the hearts of the apostles. It's almost hard to believe that they're the same men. On one day, they are weak, fearful men. They're hiding from the authorities who just recently put Jesus to death. They knew Jesus was alive. They knew he was risen. They had seen him. In fact, they had seen him ascend into heaven. But they weren't telling anybody. They were locked in fear. So that's the condition they're in one day. And the next day, they're strong, they're courageous, they're bold public speakers, they're witnesses and proclaimers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, what happened? What happened to these guys? Something obviously happened. Well, that's what we call the event of Pentecost, the glorious event of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's better to say not only that the Spirit descended, which he certainly did, but that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't simply something that came down on top of them. It was something that filled them. This was the very thing that Jesus predicted would happen before he ascended. And we heard this last Sunday on the Feast of the Ascension. We heard Jesus tell the apostles not to leave Jerusalem. Don't leave, but wait for the promise of the Father. That's what he said. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now remember, baptized in those days didn't mean sprinkling water. It meant immersion. You will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. So the promise was not that you will be sprinkled with a few drops of the Holy Spirit, but that you will be plunged into and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the whole world is your mission territory now. That's what Jesus said. But what did it mean? How could they have known what that meant? What was he really talking about? Well, now we know. At Pentecost, we realize, well, that's what he meant. It was more than simply a powerful, noisy wind or a sign of burning flames. It was an outpouring of divine power. There could be no doubt at all that it happened. Otherwise, there would be no explanation at all for the transformation of these ordinary Galilean fishermen into an international missionary force. There's no human explanation for it, or for the survival and spread of the church and spread of the gospel. Who could explain it? But let's not leave Pentecost in the past. The same Spirit that descended on and that filled the apostles has been given to us. The same Spirit. Without him, without the power of the Spirit, we find ourselves very much in the weak and fearful condition of the apostles. I mean, the pre-Pentecost apostles. We might know the facts about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We can recite the creed. But without the Holy Spirit, we don't have power. That meaning we don't have any way to change. Neither to change ourselves nor to make any impact on the world, which is so desperately in need of change. We have no way to affect anybody else, no powerful way, without the Holy Spirit. Well, I just read recently a good description of our condition and of how God has responded to our condition in a Novena to the Holy Spirit, which just finished yesterday. In this little prayer book that I read, it introduced the work of the Holy Spirit this way. I'll read it to you. Only one thing is important: eternal salvation. Only one thing, therefore, is to be feared: sin. Sin is the result of ignorance, weakness, and indifference. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of light, of strength, and of love. With his sevenfold gifts, he enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and inflames the heart with love of God. It's quite a good summary. And not only of what happened to the apostles, but what happens to us when we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. On our own, what do we have? Ignorance, weakness, and indifference. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's the right thing to do, what's good to do, what's best. We don't know how to solve so many of our own problems or the problems of the world. That's ignorance. We just don't know. Sometimes it's not even our fault. We just don't know. It's complicated. And even if we do know, we're too weak to do that much about it. That's weakness. And worst of all, even if we have some knowledge and some strength, we often just don't care that much. We can't be bothered. We have more important things to do, we say. That's indifference. I think indifference is the worst of the three. Ignorance can be treated by education. You can learn. Weakness can be treated by strengthening or support. But indifference, wow, what do you do with someone who just doesn't care? Meaning, what do you do with someone who doesn't love, who doesn't have love? I think that's one of the worst things that afflicts the world nowadays, indifference. And Pope Francis often speaks about this. The problem that comes up when people just don't care. Who cares if there's a war in Ukraine? Who cares if a typhoon wiped out Guam? Who cares if there's corruption here or there, or the environment is being destroyed? That's how people act. As if these things are not our problems. As if we're not one human family. As if we're not one body of Christ. Well, what's the Lord's solution to this tragic and pathetic condition of sin? He sends us the Holy Spirit. He sends us His Spirit, His divine Spirit. He shares with us His very self, His very life. The Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. He is God. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of strength. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of love. He is the love of the Father and the Son. That's who fills us. That's who has been given to us or poured into our hearts. No wonder it's powerful. It's divine power. Yes, we have ignorance, weakness, and indifference. But the Lord responds by giving us light and strength and love. Light that enlightens the mind, our wisdom, understanding, knowledge, strength, fortitude, courage that strengthens the will, and love, which inflames our hearts with love of God and love of neighbor. Divine love at work in us, because our love just runs out so quickly. Now, you probably know, in the tradition of the church, we speak about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've already mentioned some of them, but just to mention them all at once, there's wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. If we had a long time, we could go into these gifts and talk about how they work in us. That would be actually a great thing to do. And I'd also like to spend a little time on what we read about in today's second reading, about how the Holy Spirit works in each person in a unique way, but for the common good, how the whole body is made one by the Holy Spirit. But we can't go into all these details, but we should at least today, Pentecost Sunday, realize that we have already received immense power to live the Christian life. We can't claim that we're too weak. Well, we are too weak, but we have been given a strength. We can't claim that we don't have any understanding. On our own, we don't, but we do by the power of the Spirit. We can't claim that we don't have any love. Because the only reason we don't have love is because we're not loving. We're not using the gifts we have received. So we have immense power not only to live the Christian life, but to share it with others. Pentecost is the starting point, the explosive beginning of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. The power is available to us in the church to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. So we have these gifts. We receive them in baptism and confirmation. But are we letting these gifts do what they're supposed to do? Are we opening up a space for the Holy Spirit to work? That's what we have to ask ourselves on Pentecost. Sure, we still live in a condition of ignorance, weakness, and indifference. That's a natural state. And we live in a world that's full of weakness and ignorance and indifference. But we also live in a world into which the Holy Spirit has been poured out in abundance. We have received these gifts. The Pentecost is not simply a past event. It is a present reality. So today, we open ourselves to the power, to the mercy, to the love of God. And we ask the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come.